Okay, great. We're just reminding you on our goal here, what we're trying to do, why we're doing staff web, while your senior, the reason why your department heads and your senior pastors allow you to spend 3 hours here is because we want to help upgrade all of your skills so that you can help us as an organization grow to the next level. At the end of the day, if we're serious about growing to, right now we're around 60,000, give or take, depending on whose numbers you listen to, that doesn't really matter. What matters to us isn't the numbers of the crowd. What matters to us is the leaders. That's the number we count. And it's important to us for evaluate and make sure that the capacity of our leaders is such that we can keep handling the crowd. If it ever gets to the point that the crowd overwhelms us, oh Lord, help us all. Okay? But what we want to do is be able to build such a structure of leaders across the organization, not just on the pastor level, not just on the preacher level, across the organization. If we do that, I feel good, because that way I'm sure when my Bella, who's 7 years old now, who would go through APE later, or my Gaida, who's turning 6 months next week. Oh man, 6 months na. Bilis masyado. They will still attend Victory. And they will get married here. You know, it's no longer, I've crossed the corner. It's no longer about me. There's a point a decade ago that I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to do something. I'm going to change the world. I've crossed the corner. I've turned the corner. And now it's like, I'm going to set up something that will last beyond me. And really, at the end of the day, what that is are not structures. It's as good as this building is that we're going to be building beside us. It's not that. It's leaders. It's leaders who can change the world. And that's the reason you're here. That's the reason this class is not a seminar type that 200 people are in, because we have over 100 admin staff. It's because we want you here. This was handpicked. Okay, there's a limit to the class, and pinagawayan sa kaninong slot, and your name's here. You're here because your leaders thought you deserve to get trained, because they believe you can help us as an organization go to the next level. Okay, so that's why we're talking to you about all of these things. Some of them are technical for you. Some of them, okay, doesn't really make sense. Naturo na ba sa inyo yung hermeneutics class? Magka-hermeneutics kayo. Masaya yun. Okay? Next sem, di ba? Oo, sige. Enjoy yun, to be quite honest. Magugulat kayo. Hindi pala tayo marunong magbasa ng Biblia. Okay? We're finishing up hermeneutics class in the senior pastors level. I'm part of the senior leaders class kasi, so we're finishing up hermeneutics there. Our hermeneutics is advanced compared to the hermeneutics admin gets. After I'm a Christian, I've been saved since 1994, at least as far as I can as far as I know. In 1994, and so I'm going to celebrate 20 years of walking with God in 2014, along with the 30th anniversary of Victory. And I can say, after listening to Pastor Paul Barker yesterday talk about hermeneutics, my conclusion is, I don't know how to read my Bible. Okay, I'm already a pastor. Anyway, okay, so that's not my topic today. Let me talk about something I feel more confident about. Okay, this is called the Effective Supervisor's Toolbox. So Miss Gigi gave us a great introduction on what a supervisor is, okay? And most of you, if not all of you here, serve in some supervisory function. You may not have the title supervisor, but you definitely oversee people, productivity, progress, and projects. Okay, so that's what supervision is. Okay, let me give you this quotation. I'm talking about the Effective Supervisor's Toolbox, and I'm going to give you 4 tools, okay, that I've personally found to be very effective. What I've found out, when I entered school, I entered school to become an architect. That didn't work out. Okay, so I ended up in mass communication. And if I look around the room, I see many different courses here, you know, the different things that we all tried to study. Nobody actually went to school to become a supervisor. Does that make sense? And so we're all learners here. Some of us have natural leadership abilities in certain areas. Our strengths finders lend us towards some execution skills or some influencing skills, relationship building skills, planning and thinking skills, sure. But at the end of the day, in order to become an effective supervisor, we need to upgrade whatever skill sets we start off with, because none of us were actually ever trained to become good at supervision. We've never really had to think about how to do it. Okay, so I'm so grateful for people who have taken the time to think it through. Okay, and I'm speaking to each one of you as a fellow learner. The first time I entered this building, I was Pastor Joey's assistant. My first big project, Victory Los Baños, we were going to rebrand and relaunch VLI. And we had Talents Inc. there, Champions for Christ there, Victory Biz there. We did a parade. Akala namin mga artista kami lahat. You remember that, Jeff? That's where I met Jeff. I remember that. So that was my first big project. I'm a MASCOM graduate who had no idea how to relate with the Jerome Gutierrez's of this world, the Alvin Patrimonios of this world, the maneuvers. You know, I had all of these celebrities, and I was the main guy running administration that time. I mean, everybody else was in Los Baños running around. These were students who volunteered their time to launch it because it was going to be a harvest and an outreach, and at the end of the day. And learning how to manage projects, manage people, you end up doing it on the job, eh. You know, and dun mo nakikita na mabilis rin pala ako mapikon, ano, akala ko so yung mga ganun, you learn to handle ganito pala ako kapag may maingay na tao. Di ba yung mga tao na gaya, some people sinasabayan ako, I quiet up and I disappear, you know, umiiwas ako. You learn these things about, you know. So what I want to talk to you about are tools that if we put into our toolbox will make us better as supervisors, okay? And very specific tools, very practical. I don't want to go principles, and I don't want to go too highfalutin concepts. I think you had a lot of the inspiration already from between what Alex shared and some of the other things you've heard already. I think that's a lot in terms of the kind of vision of a leader that you want to have. And hopefully it's inspired you to become better at this. So now let me give you a few ways to do this better. Very practical. Okay lang? So here we're going to go very practical. It's almost going to be formulaic in some ways. Others are going to be very principle-based, but the type that can be applied easily. Tools. Okay, tools. Okay, here's a quote. If a man's only tool is a hammer, he tends to treat everything as a nail. So some of you were awesome in your job. Maybe you're an accountant. So as an accountant, your specialty, Excel sheets. You can create formulas without even looking at it. You know, you can find the missing one centavo just by one quick, ano, talagang ang galing mo. Fantastic. Okay, but the moment you become a supervisor, you now oversee people, not just Excel sheets, but your skill set is Excel sheets. So you bottom line even the people. Ano nangyari? Bakit 1 minute off ka? You know, parang everything's bottom line to the same thing. Because your framework, the only way you know how to relate with certain things is through what you understand. And so it's really helpful for us to evaluate, do we have the right tools for the right job? Maybe when you were not a supervisor, your toolbox was okay. When I was a single man, I didn't care for toolboxes because my grandmother had somebody who would fix the house. When I got married and had my own home, one of the first gifts, I remember it, Erwin Ramos, Pastor Sky, upstairs, gave me was a toolbox. Carlos, you will need this. What is that? I had no idea what was inside. Later on, I did need it. Okay, so sabi ko, yung pala yun. Yung parang, si Belle was complaining because there was something messed up. Like I guess. So talagang, let's call a plumber. Let's call a carpenter. He know, just fix it. It's just like that. My dad can do that. Ganyan. Away kami. So nag-Google ako, nag-YouTube ako, research ko, paano gawin yan? Screwdriver lang pala kailangan. Okay, so kahiya. Okay, but, and I was so glad the toolbox Pastor Sky gave me had it. Later on, I needed a wrench. So sabi ko, ano nga ba yung wrench? Alam ko ano yun eh. So ginugol ko ano itsura ng wrench. Parang hindi ako makapahiya sa misis ko, di ba? Ayun pala yung wrench, okay? So, parang, ano pala kinakaiba ng ano, ng screwdriver sa Phillips, yung mga ganun. Talaga, oh man, hirap. Okay, but ganun. So, I want you to evaluate the tools you're currently using because most probably you're missing a few tools. Some of you love using the saw. You love cutting people up. You think it's your mission in life to set people in their place. some of you are really hammers, you know, yung parang kapag may umaangat na tao, ba-boom, baba ka dyan. Humility, I will give it to you. Parang ganyan. I mean, let's think about these things, okay? So, what are supervisors? Supervisors are leaders who are responsible for the progress and productivity of the team that you're overseeing. So, at the end of the day, that to me is one of the simplest definitions I've found. Once you click into a supervisory role, you're no longer just overseeing yourself. You're now overseeing other people. And as you oversee other people, you're overseeing the task given to you, and that your job is not to do it yourself. I've seen supervisors do that because they're such a key talent and they're such a star performer in their skill set. When they supervise, their people are basically coming to work not doing anything because the supervisor does everything. And because their capacity is such, they can do it all. And their staff are bored, their team is, you know, what are we going to do? Parang wala, there's no engagement. Okay, you now are responsible for your people and for productivity of your people and the progress of the team as a whole. Okay, so the task of supervision include everything from conducting basic management skills like decision-making, problem-solving, planning, delegation, meeting, management. We already talked about a few of these things in several of our stuff. You're going to notice a few more show up in the course of staff development, like organizing teams. We'll talk to you about that next semester. Okay, how to identify new jobs and new roles that are coming as your work increases and as your team becomes better. How to hire people. That's a skill set at entry level supervisors need to learn. How to train people, because not everybody that you hire is equipped to do everything that you need them to do. Okay, to manage performance, because once they're with your team, this is not like the U.S. that I don't like you, you're fired regardless of how. In the Philippines, the labor laws support employees, not organizations. So you're forced to have to figure out a way to make this person work and perform. Okay, and then ensure policies are implemented and the organization's goals are met. Diba? So let me give you four tools. I've taken time, I researched this. This is one of the ones I've found. Sarah knows a bit of this because I've experimented on this with my team. My team gets all of my experiments. I mean, literally. My meeting format changes on a quarterly basis. Next thing you know, nag-strat plan kami. Ano kasing strat plan? Basta! Ganun, nag-experiment kasi ako. Because again, I'm learning as I go. And I call the stuff that don't work. I have zero... I'm not married at all to any process or any system. I'm married to progress, excellence, efficiency. And I want to make sure whenever I come to work, I'm able to produce the best. So if this current format that we're using isn't getting me to the best, I can just let go of it tomorrow. That's probably part of the frustration my team has. Bago na naman. Okay, so, yes, okay. Mas maganda to eh. Okay, so, but here's one model and very simple concept that in the last 2-3 years has stayed with me, meaning the concept has stayed with me and I've used it in various settings. The principles work. And so I've distilled the principles down here and I'll share it with you. Okay, four tools that help supervisors become effective managers of people. And my emphasis here is how do you manage people better? Okay, I'm following through with what Gigi already mentioned earlier and what Alex Casillo inspired you all to become, okay, in the last few weeks. Okay, four tools lang. Tool number one, I'm going to call it one-on-ones. Okay, this is gleaned from concepts presented in by this one consulting group called Manager Tools. Okay, so, but tool number one is one-on-ones. Tool number two is feedback. Tool number three is coaching. And tool number four is delegation. Tool number one, one-on-ones. Great supervisors know their people exceptionally well. Okay, tool number two, feedback. Great supervisors communicate incessantly, nonstop. Serious, they always talk about performance. Okay, tool number three, coaching. Great managers regularly ask for performance to improve. They regularly ask for people to be better. I think that's so important. People rise to the level of your expectations. I need you to understand that. People will always rise to your level of expectation. If you don't expect them to be much, they will not become much. Which is why it's amazing, because God looks at us with such high expectation. He sees Christ in you. Isn't that crazy? So if God looks at you and says, you're able to do so much, what right do we have to look at other people and say, you're not going to amount to much? I'm going to think about tool number four, delegation. Great managers grow organizational capacity and capability. How? By growing people. And one of the best tools to grow people is delegation. Getting them to do the work. Okay? Getting them to get their hands and feet dirty, trying things. Okay, so let's go into it. I'll tackle the first two tools as quickly as I can. Do some exercises, then run through the other tools as well. We will practice these tools because these are all practical things. Okay, so first, one-on-ones. Okay, one-on-ones. What are one-on-ones? The most common thread that all effective supervisors do is that they meet. Here's after years of study on how supervisors are effective, what makes a manager effective, what makes performers really become star performers. What they found out is great supervisors regularly meet with the people who directly report to them. In the corporate world, they call them direct reports. In our context, your staff members or your key volunteers, your team, your leaders, okay? But you meet regularly with them individually. And the average time that they've seen is about roughly give or take 30 minutes, approximately half an hour on a regular basis, weekly or twice a month, okay? So, okay, wait. One-on-one, then regular. Why? Why do we do that? Can't I just have a casual conversation? Like, diba, kukuha kami ng tubig, kwentuhan, o how are you, ganyan, ganyan. Hindi ba pwede ganyan yan? Okay, what distinguishes an O3 from a casual conversation between a supervisor and the direct? Okay, like sometimes I will go up the elevator kasabay ko one of the people in my team. Oh, kumusta ka? You know, the other day, I was in the line of the cafeteria beside Ben. So, Ben, so ano, kumusta ang kasal? Kailan na? Ganyan. That's a casual conversation. That is not the same as when I'm sitting down with Edwin, who's one of my supervisors, one of the people directly under me that I oversee. My responsibility as his supervisor, because I oversee him, is to ensure his productivity, his growth, his performance, and help him become whatever God wants him to be. Diba? That's different from me sitting down, having 30 minutes of undivided one-on-one time with him. It's not the same as me casually hanging out with him while we're walking down towards lunch. It's not the same. Okay? Unlike spontaneous conversations, which is good and you should have that, okay? One-on-ones are regularly scheduled meetings. So it's a meeting. There's an agenda. There's a framework that is structured specifically to do one thing. Maintain great relationships and robust communications with the people you oversee. So by definition, one-to-ones are, first, they're regularly scheduled. Meaning, one, it's regular. Second, it's... Diba? Sabi ko sa'yo, simple lang to. Okay? It is regular and it is scheduled. How regular? It's up to you. Some of you only have one or two direct reports, and because of the way your time is scheduled, you can actually report, meet with them weekly. You know, 30 minutes here, 30 minutes here, depending on where you can slot 30 minutes into your calendar week. Parang, uy, kaya, 30, 30, 30. When I started doing this, I had all of my direct reports one after the other for a two-hour span because I had four direct reports. 30 minutes, 30 minutes, 30 minutes, 30 minutes. Okay, that was before I took on the extra responsibility I now have. Okay, I told them, after self-development, babalik tayo dito. After self-development, binigay sa akin ang communications and development and conferences. Biglan lang sabi ko, nakalimutan ko. Nagbagong mundo ko. So I haven't had a chance to resume my one-to-ones with my team. But when we did do the one-on-ones, it was my favorite time of the week. So it's regular and it is scheduled. I want to challenge you. There's a value to scheduling it. Why? Because your direct report finds that you put them in your calendar. That means they are important to you. It's like me and my wife. If we don't have regularly scheduled dates at a certain point, she starts wondering if I really love her. It's not because I don't love her. It's just because the frequency and the fact that my resources don't reflect my values. Communicate something I don't intend to communicate. Something we're thinking about. So scheduling time to speak with your direct reports on a regular basis tells them they matter to you. That's important. And because you want to communicate value, it is rarely missed. Meaning, the only time I'd canceled any of my one-on-one schedules has been when it was Pastor Steve asking me to meet with him. Other than that, I will tell them, I'm sorry, I'm not available at that time. Because my time with my direct reports, when I meet with my supervisors, the people I oversee, that's important. That's a priority. I make time for it. The focus of one-on-ones is the direct report. The team member, the staff member, the person you're overseeing. The focus is that person, not you, the supervisor. Very important. So what is the purpose of one-on-ones? Three words, okay? First, relationship. The goal of one-on-ones is to develop a stronger relationship with your direct reports. At the end of the day, you're going to learn this when we talk about the team management and five dysfunctions of a team, this whole idea. Every team, okay, how can two people, Amos 3:3 says, how can two people walk together unless they agree? You will understand this. If you want people to function and be productive with you, you're going to have to be able to walk together with people. That requires relationship. That requires you taking the time to build relationally with people. One of the main dysfunctions of a team is a lack of trust. Lack of trust results from a lack of relationship, which is one of the activities that they do in the five dysfunctions is they ask the team to spend time and tell each other their personal backgrounds, how they grew up. What a weird activity to do to build teams. Except that when we actually did it, Ms. Karen and I, our team did it, when we took the time and so, ade, nagkwentong buhay, ganto ako lumaki, ganyan, ganyan. So, nagkwento sila lahat, kanya-kanyang kwento kami, di ba ako, nagkwento ko, pabonggaan kami ng kwento eh, ganyan. Okay, kasi, antindi ng kwento ni ade, ako sumunod, ang hirap sundan yung kwento ni ade, nang-invento na ako ng kwento kahit hindi totoo, para lang masabayan yung drama ni ade, yung ganyan, eh. But the reason why that matters, you know why? Is because ade stops becoming a name and a position and starts becoming a real person. With real needs, with real challenges, with real strengths, with real successes, and with real faults. It changes the dynamic. So when the next time you deal with a person, you're not just dealing with a statistic or a time code. You're not just dealing with a deadline missed. You're dealing with a person. That matters. The second word there for purpose is communication. Okay? The goal of one-on-ones is to strengthen communication between you and your direct report. Because it's so regular, your direct report feels, I can talk to my supervisor when I need to. There's a bridge. I can go in there and quickly go, can I talk to you for a minute? And because I know in the past we've committed time, I know I can access my supervisor. That's what Ms. Gigi was saying earlier. Give them an environment where they can access you. Doing this creates that environment for them. They don't need to fight for that environment for you. You made the environment available for them. You eliminate the primary issue of most ineffectiveness in many offices, which is what? Miscommunication. Many times, ineffectiveness is a result of somebody not receiving expectations correctly, somebody not telling somebody there's a job. How many of you that's happened? Your boss comes in, everything's normal. 2 weeks later, nasaan na yung report? Anong report? Hindi pala nasabi sa inyo. So, trabaho niyo yun pala yun. Diba? Mga ganun. Having regular meetings like this helps eliminate those things. And finally, it gives you a venue for your direct reports to access the supervisor on a regular basis. So, the third word is access. Okay, creating that environment, building trust. Now, what do you do in a one-on-one meeting? Here's a very simple format for your one-on-one meeting. Here's the agenda. Okay, it's averaging 30 minutes. Really, just 30 minutes. What do you do? First 10 minutes, anything the direct report wants to talk about. Second 10 minutes, anything you as a supervisor want to talk about. Whatever you want to talk about. 10 minutes. Last 10 minutes, things you two want to agree on to talk about. That can be you two discussing future plans, future projects, coaching matters, delegation matters. You want to give the 10 minutes back to the direct report to bring up another topic. It's really up to you at that point. When we first did this, so si Sarah, si JJ, si Edwin, si Chris at that time, they would all come to me. So they would sit down in front of me. Because I'm lousy with time, so I would set a timer. Okay, guys, ready, ah? Practice natin to. 10 minutes, ready? Here we go. 10, tick, tick. Okay, game. You, what do you want to talk about? So nakatingin sila. Really? I can just talk about anything? Yes. So si JJ nakatingin sa akin. Okay, Well, the landlady the other day. Yung sa bahay kasi namin, medyo matanda kasi siya, ganyan-ganyan. So, kunento niya sa akin, landlady niya. Okay? 10 minutes. So, ako naman talaga, okay, ano to? Is this whole one-on-one thing working? I mean, seriously, what are we talking about? I'm spending 10 minutes doing this. Right? And then after the 10 minutes, ako naman. So, I talked to him about one of the books I was reading. You know, Jage, you know, just let you know. And I showed him kasi I found this P90 workout program that I thought was cool. It was gonna take me to where I was, to the buff Carlos vision I had of myself. And so exchange kami ng ideas. And in the last 10 minutes, we talked about some of the plans. As he goes, could I talk to you about some of the things about my team? And then we did that. It was pretty cool. Everything, when we were done. Okay, kind of like, did we accomplish anything that first meeting? No. The next week comes in, and you're gonna see this. I'm gonna say this later. But because as a supervisor, you take notes. You just remind yourself, okay, JJ thought the landlady thing was important. And then I remind myself, I told him about this, the P90. And then by the end of it, we agreed na I'll give him a copy of the P90 that I got so he can try it out. Because JJ is a health buff kind of person after all the APEs. Yung parang ganun. So, ginawa namin yan. So the next time we met, I had a USB ready and because I had notes. Oh, Jage, here's the P90 thing. Oh, okay. Oh, 10 minutes. Look, I set the time. Oh, what do you want to talk about? And this time, by the third and fourth, the awkwardness was gone. When he first talked, parang, how much time do I still have? You have a good 4 minutes pa. Ano pa sasabihin ko? It was weird. It was awkward. And sabi ko, just talk. By the third or fourth time, ang bilis, it was hard for us to stop having discussions, and then it started to become meaty, started to become meaningful. The discussions would vary from his personal interests, stuff happening in church, his own challenges with his walk with God, his challenges with his family situation, to work situation stuff, and everything like that, and everything in between. You know what's interesting? He becomes more productive because he feels I understand what he's going through, and whatever he thinks is important matters enough to me. You remember what Maxwell said? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I started to realize, this is good. This is really good. Okay? It's one of the one things, come next year, I'm going to really fix my schedule so that I can do this more consistently. But it's a huge thing. So a few key thoughts, reminders, notes, follow-up. Notes and follow-up items are critical for the success of one-on-one meetings. You know, just keep yourself I actually created a folder, and every time I have one-on-ones, I just file it. It's like a 201 file I have. You know, week one, I met with Edwin. This is what we talked about. Week two, met with Edwin. We follow this up. And then sometimes, because you schedule, like, we'll talk about coaching later, the other tool. Like, Edwin goes, I want to grow in, I want to upgrade on branding. Parang ganyan. So, okay, cool. How do you think you can do that? Well, baka I can do this. Maybe I can borrow your book. I got like a great idea. Oh, sige. How about this? You borrow the book. How long do you think it'll take for you to read it? 6 weeks? Oh, sige, great. 6 weeks. So let's schedule this. 6 weeks from now, I'll ask you how the book went. How about that? Cool. So in my notes, I have a note there, and I bring it every week. I put it to the next week, to the next week, to the next, to talk to Edwin about that on 6 weeks. And then it's in my tab there to remind him, oh, how's the book reading going? Because he knows I'm going to talk to him about it in 6 weeks. Make sense? But the one-on-one venue gives me the chance to have regular interaction with my direct reports. Think about that. Who are the key volunteers in your world that you're trying to raise up in this time? Who are the people that you're trying to get to understand what you're trying to do? What are the goals? You're trying to raise them because they're volunteers. Some of them don't have the skill sets. But you see the leadership, you see the potential, you see something beyond just people who are available. There's actually a skill set, there's a call there. How do you do that? How do you raise it? This is a great way. The effectiveness of one-on-ones increase when the meeting is actually very formalized, scheduled, regular, there's a very clear agenda, versus it being casual. Okay, giving people structure and regularity allows them to bring up items of real value. When it starts, you guys know this, but when you do victory groups, the first few warm-ups are useless. Favorite food, favorite color, walang kwenta. By the seventh week, eighth week, ninth week, if you just keep doing that, you know what starts to happen? They start telling you about their mom. They start talking to you about their finances. They now start opening up.
Because the regularity, it's the regularity. It gives them an environment to start talking. Really, the Bible says, out of the overflow of the mouth, the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You just give it time, their heart will overflow. That's why this matters. Okay? The first few meetings tend to get longer. I don't know, that's a US thing. I think in the Philippines, it's awkward. So the first few meetings are actually shorter in the Philippine context. Depends, unless you have somebody who's like high communication. 10 minutes lang. Like Tito Sonny will balk. 10 minutes! Okay. Carlos, I just meet with you in the bathroom. Which I said, Tito Sonny, why are you not here? I'm so busy. Anyway, so. But then it's because of the regularity, the volume of content starts to normalize. And sometimes, you know what starts to happen? Nagle-lessen yung time where they interrupt your work. Because they know this day, I'm going to talk to that person. This item can hold until I sit down to talk to them. Which allows you undivided focus time to do your stuff. You know how hard it is when you're working on something and then somebody interrupts you just to ask you a question that you already talked about and I'm like, it's not do disorient ka? I'm like that, okay? So I'm like, I have a look. The people in my team know I have a look. When I have that look, nobody's allowed to walk into my office. Ginagaya ako ni Jack. They all know that look. Anyway, okay? You also begin to understand and acknowledge what your direct reports consider valuable. You treat everyone the same way. You don't treat everybody the same way. Treating everybody the same way is not fair. Let me say that again. Treating everybody the same way is not fair. Let me say that again. Treating everybody the same way is not fair. Okay? If you read the book, First Break All the Rules, one of the main things that that book presents, this is a book of the same group that created StrengthsFinder. Okay, what they found out is people need to be treated the way they understand the world, the way they are wired. Don't assume everybody's wired the same way. Okay? And the only way for you to do that is to understand that people in your team are not the same. They are individuals. And one-on-ones allow you to approach your team individually. Okay? So I have the benefit of having individualization in my StrengthsFinder theme, so this comes a little bit more naturally to me than others. But the concept is true. I mean, you think about it. Would you want somebody to treat you the way they would treat other people without considering your background, your skill set, your strength, your capacity, your current workload, your limitations, the challenges you know you face, the fact that you live 2 hours away? I mean, these are factors that come into play, should come into play if you're a good supervisor. So when you do one-on-ones, here's what the questions that I as a supervisor bring up to myself as I prepare for my one-on-ones. Are there things that I need to follow up based on our last conversation? If this is your first time to meet, there's nothing to follow up, right? So you're basically explaining, here's what we're doing, here's why we're doing it. Okay, so that my 10 minutes gets used to remind them why we're doing what we're doing, how we're going to do this, and then after that, and then we talk about what we're going to talk about the next meeting. The next meeting, then we go for it. Okay, but then we just start creating that pattern from there. Next thing, communication. Are there things, one of the main goals of one-on-ones are communication. So are there things that I need to be sure I communicate to this person? Like yung APE scheduled po today. Sorry, nakalimutan ko sabihin sa iyo last month. Ha? It's scheduled today. Please go have your test now. Okay, parang ganun. Sorry, I forgot to say it. Yung ganun. Okay, communication issues. Are there organizational news, efforts, issues that can be shared? Okay, like there's been a major shift in the schedule of salary payouts. It's no longer going to be on the 13th. It's now going to be on the 14th. Yung ganun. Just thought you want to know. Yung ganun. Just example. Hindi totoo yan. Just kunwari. Okay, so, nangingimbendo lang ako. Kinabahan kayo. Hey, Lou, nice hair. Wow. Cool. Nahinto ako. Okay, so, may kwento yan, ano? Points yan, ano? Bumawi ka. Okay, sige. Kwento mamaya. Okay, what meetings have I attended that I've learned from recently? You know, things I want to share, like I just attended the Jim LaFone thing. I just want to update you on that. Like when Rachel Ong came, she shared a few things. The first thing I did to my team, my whole department, I sat them down and said, here's the highlights of what Rachel shared. That's important for me as a leader to cascade down to my team. And it makes the team go, wow, even though I wasn't in that meeting, I benefit from what that meeting brought to the organization. Okay, what meetings have I attended? What common items do I need to cascade out to everybody? Okay, just basic stuff. Like, oh, guys, remember we agreed to, we're going to eat in heat during this 50% off this month. Ah? So, wala sa inyong, ano, ah? Okay. Wag kayong gumastos ng basa-basa. Serenity na yan, useless yan. Sampung serenity, isang heat na yan. Happy Lemon's an exception, I understand. Okay, next, feedback. Okay, what positive feedback can I give? What negative feedback can I, adjusting feedback can I give? We'll talk about feedback again later. Coaching, we'll talk about that again later. So, but what behavior or performance area are we focusing on in this season and what are we going to do next? And finally, delegation. Are there things that I'm currently doing that I feel would be good to delegate to you at this time? What tasks would help you in your development? And again, I'll talk about delegation next. Okay, so those are the other tools. But the one-on-one is the venue where you can use these tools. This is so exciting. I kid you not. It feels weird. It feels like it's a waste of extra time. I mean, where will I carve out the 30 minutes? And if you have six reports, like I have seven now. So I can try to figure the whole thing out. I haven't really wrapped my brain around it, but it is worth figuring it out. Okay? So anyway, think about it. Next, feedback. Feedback, the second tool. Great managers communicate incessantly about performance. Research shows that most employees actually want to get feedback. I mean, most of them don't like the idea na, naku, sinabihan ako, and again. But the truth is, most do. Because people want to know where they stand. It's actually harder for them to not know if they're doing good or not good. Because they're in an awkward stage if they don't know. They're standing on shifting sands. The only basis they have is their own opinion of what they do. That's hard. But when you're affirmed or corrected and confirmed and reminded, it brings you to a place of stability. Okay, creating environments where people know where they stand allows for greater performance. Okay, people won't get great at their jobs unless you do a great job of giving them feedback. Okay, people won't get great at their jobs unless you do a great job of giving them feedback. Here are four reasons why we don't give feedback very often. One, we don't know how to give feedback. Okay, providing people with honest and useful performance feedback is not very easy. Lalo na in a Filipino context where we don't like confronting people. Okay, it requires insight, which we're, now most of us are unwilling to take the time to consider, skill, maturity, that sometimes some supervisors lack. Okay, but the reason I'm giving you this tool is because our expectation here is you are not that person. Okay, you can do this. And I will teach you how, so after this you have no excuse and are now accountable to God for what you know. That's what the Bible says. Okay. So if you don't want to hear this and don't want to be accountable, cover your ears at this point. No, but seriously. Second, the reason most of us don't give feedback is we think evaluation, not development. That's a major shift. Nobody wants to judge people. That's why there's an emotional pushback to you on the idea of feedback. But feedback is a development tool. How many of you benefited from somebody correcting you? How many of you benefited from somebody telling you what you did right? I mean, how many of you have watched American Idol in the back of your head wishing somebody told that person they couldn't sing before they went to an audience of 200 million people who watch it all over the world? Aren't you glad somebody told you you're not good at that? Around the first month of my architecture pursuits, one of my batchmates looked at me and said, Carlos, what are you doing here? I have no idea. And that pushed me on the line of, this is not right for me. And I was grateful for it. Did I fail? Yes, but it was the kind of failure that was good. Because if I kept at something that I was horrible at, I would have never have found the one thing I was great at. Think development, not evaluation. Many leaders incorrectly assume that their job is to judge rather than help people grow and improve. Our job is to help people grow and improve. And if sometimes growth means moving them to something else. I mean, how if you have ever done something you're not good at, how horrible that feels, and then because naawa ka, naku, masasaktan siya kung sabihin ko sa kanya to. You leave the person in that horrible environment. You, the supervisor who can do something about it, you're inflicting more pain. Then do the necessary work of pulling off the bandage now, let the initial sting hurt, but then move them to a place of, wow, that's more green pastures, more beautiful, more restful for them, more along their goals, more along their lines, something to think about, okay? Next, we fear the repercussions of giving corrective feedback. I guess more in a corporate setting than here, because here we do have an environment of family and trust. But at the same time, you know, sometimes politics does show up, and many leaders worry that if they provide negative feedback to people, their team will end up losing motivation. They'll argue with them, be defensive, be argumentative, or try to retaliate. Oh, ganyan ako kasi ganyan ka. Yung gano'n, di ba? May mga ganyan tayo, di ba? So it doesn't really happen here because we do have an environment of trust. And we keep that. And one of the ways to guard that and make that happen is here. I want to tell you, there's so many times. Gigi was talking about Pastor Steve taking so many times to acknowledge us and strengthen us. I'm so amazed. Pastor Steve and Pastor Manny are the two people I'm trying to learn from. Because I've gotten corrected more times than I'm willing to admit to this group, which I already just did, by Pastor Steve about what I do, then I'm, you know, by the grace of God, mercies are new every morning, right? But for whatever reason, I leave the correction stronger, happier, and I feel, Pastor Steve cares about me. How did he do that? Where he really, sinabon niya ako tatlong beses, nag-ring, talagang washing machine, talagang inikot-ikot ako, ganyan. Paglabas ko, wow, may downy pa. Pero, paglabas ko, I felt stronger. I felt good. How did he do that? I was like, so I'm amazed. So I'm trying my best to learn from him, but most probably because he thinks with this framework. Okay? And lastly, we don't think it is our responsibility to give people feedback. Many mistakenly think that it's their responsibility only if, as a supervisor, your responsibility is only to meet goals, not to develop people. That's not true. Your main job is to develop people. You develop people so that your people can achieve your goals. That's why you're a supervisor. Your main job is now to oversee people so that they achieve goals with you. Okay, so there are two kinds of feedback. I've been using the term feedback in general, but there are two kinds of feedback. And I like the terminology that I found. I will use it over the terminology most of us know, which is negative and positive feedback. There are two kinds of feedback are affirming feedback and adjusting feedback. I like that. It's better than positive negative. Okay? Affirming feedback are the positive feedbacks. It's when you communicate to people what they did right. Adjusting feedback is corrective feedback on what could have been done better. Not just a judgment on what was done wrong. I love that. Adjusting feedback is me taking the time to tell somebody, you could have done this way and it would have resulted much better than the way you currently did it now. Could I ask you to work on it so the next time you do it the way I'm telling you, which is the better way? You notice the difference? It removes the sting of judgment. Absolutely. The person's going, oh nga no? Sige, I'll try that. I didn't think of that. They're actually so encouraged that you found them a better way. So, how do you give effective feedback? Here's how I deal with most of us don't know how. Let me teach you how. Okay? First, tip number one, catch them in the act. Okay? Whether it is to affirm them or to adjust their behavior, giving feedback is most effective, right? most effective when it is given immediately following the behavior. Immediately. I learned this in parenting. The longer it takes for me to bring a matter up, the less effective my feedback becomes. It is best as soon as you catch it. As soon as possible. Okay, ako, I try to do that as much as I can. And just so you guys understand, this, lalo na yung affirming feedback, does not come naturally to me. You know why? I have a deliberative mindset. I see the wrong in anything. Even myself. Okay? So kahit okay na yun, pero may ganito, pero may ganyan. Yung ganon. Okay, so my team knows this also. Okay? So I'm very conscious, I'm very particular where I go, that was very good. Great job on this. And it's a conscious effort on my part to do that. And it's something I've learned to have, I just have to do because I want to become an effective supervisor. This is a tool I had to put into my toolbox. It wasn't naturally there. Okay? So learn to give recognition, positive recognition, immediately. You know, you heard the people say praise in public, correct in private. You know, really, let me just encourage you. Private is like this. Oh, we're all here. And then I go, Jeff, can I talk to you for a quick minute? That's private already. You know, when you answered that, that was fantastic. The way you said what you said and the way you framed it, it really made it clear to the whole team. I really look forward to hearing more of that from you. Okay? I just gave affirming feedback. Right? Now, if I want to praise that in public, you know, do you guys just notice what Jeff did? Jeff, that was awesome. You know why? Because when you said this, guys, you notice this? When he did this, it really helped all of us get to the bottom of what we needed to do. Jeff, thank you. That really helped the whole thing. That's praising in public. But if I'm going to give feedback, I can do it right there. I don't have to wait until I'm in my cubicle or in my office. I can just do that. In the same token, I can just go to Josh and I have corrective feedback. And parang, Josh, can I just talk to you a quick moment? Yeah, Josh goes, oh, Pastor Carlos, why? Well, you know, Josh, you know, when we were talking the other time, you get on, I was talking to Jeff, and then you just kind of just ran right into it. And apparently it really came across like you didn't care that we were in a previous conversation. I would really appreciate it that you consider first what's going on first and wait until we're done before you talk to us about what you want to talk. I knew it was important, but it just really came across like you didn't care about what we were doing at the time. Could I request that from you? All right, great, thanks. I really appreciate it. I just gave adjusting feedback. Does he feel bad? Not at all. He's going, oh, no, thank you. A little awkward, but nothing overly dramatic. Okay? Give immediate feedback, especially even on poor performance. You know why? Silence from you is acceptance of the behavior. If you do not bring it up, that means you're okay with it. Remember, we've said it so many times, whatever you tolerate, you will never change. And as a supervisor, you're the one who's supposed to know which behaviors can and cannot be in your team, in your department, in your organization, in your group. Feedback delayed is feedback denied. How many of you here have done actual performance appraisal reports where you've had to appraise people on an annual basis, which is what we do in HR? Okay? I've heard feedback of some of our teams where it was really, really painful because the staff member would score himself really high on the ratings on some of these things, and then the supervisor would score them really low. And it's like a huge discrepancy on perspective. And the staff member's like, I didn't know that you didn't think I was effective. I didn't realize that I wasn't doing the job that you wanted me to do pala. You know whose fault that's on? The supervisor. Because they only waited until the annual performance appraisal before they gave the person actual feedback on how he was doing. Because the whole time, tinimpi niya talagang isang taon niyang talagang, I can't wait for appraisal para ibagsak ko to. Yung ganon. Isang taon! So what a horrible, painful appraisal process. Okay, now I've had that. I've had an unfortunate situation where I've had to, you know, correct people and their performance and everything. But by the time we get to the appraisal, because I follow this, by the time they get to the appraisal, they know where they stand. They're scoring themselves the way I know their hand working. They know it. They're the first person to say, you know, Pastor Carlos, you know, I've been working on it. But I really still have a hard time on this one. They're the first ones apologetic because they know where they stand with me. Because I do this on a regular basis. Something to think about. Okay? So here's the next tip. When you give feedback, ask permission. This is something most of us don't do. I know I did that when I my two samples here, when I did it with Jeff and I did it. Can I talk to you for a moment? Could I give you some quick feedback? Si Pastor Paolo, ganyan yan. Bababa ako from the stage because I just did a transition. I feel so good. Got the verse ko. I held for the word of the Lord. And then Pastor Paolo, we go, quick lang. Could I talk to you about something? Oh, yeah. Pa, ano ba? Bro, when you said that at the end, it really came across different. Eh, parang ganyan. Baka next time, for the next service, you can say it this way. Oh, nga no. Pastor Paolo, thanks. Done. And I'm sitting down. He's sitting down. He's giving me feedback. He's made me better. He's improved me. He's developed my transition. But you know why it was easy? Because I allowed him to. How could I allow him to? He asked if he could tell me. Ask the person if they're open to quick feedback, giving the person opportunity to choose to hear you or not. Most people will immediately say yes. What's up? Most people. Few people will say no. But more often than that, it's because they're preoccupied with something else. Kasi no, isipin mo, yung parang sumasayaw yung tao, can I give you quick feedback? Hindi. Kasi ang pangit ng pagkaganon mo. Pero sumasayaw pa kasi ako eh. Wag mo muna ako eh. Correct. Diba? Hintayin mo matapos. Diba? Parang ganyan. So there are a few people that are like that. Diba? They're busy. They're carrying things. They're doing something. They're speaking to their team. You need to correct them. Parang ganyan. You know, now there are times like if kung medyo matindi na talaga, the whole team's affected by it, i-call out mo na yung tao. Okay, wait. Guys, just a moment. Jeff, I need to talk to you. Could we talk outside? Guys, just all take a moment. Labas. Labas kami, diba? So, pagbalik. Okay, nakalmado na ang Jeff. Okay, Jeff. Okay, guys, let's resume. Diba? Yung parang ganun. Yung, as a good facilitator of events and meetings, I guess, I need to know when I need to pull things out. But in general, ask permission. In general. And you know what happens if they say no? So, Claude, can I talk to you? I'm sorry, Pastor Kuloy. Medyo may tinatapos na ako. Okay lang ba? Oh, sige. Let me know when you're free. All right, great. Thanks. So the ball shifts to her court. You know what starts to happen? May ginagawa siya in the back of her head. Ano kaya gusto sabihin sa akin ni Pastor Kuloy? Right? That starts to happen. So 2 hours later, because she finally finishes what she needs to do, she's now going to me. Pastor Kuloy, okay na ako. What was that? So now the ball's on her court. And she opened herself up now to receive whether it's positive encouragement or corrective feedback. Either way, it's easier because the person's open. Huge. The key word here is may I. May I? May I talk to you about something? May I let you know something? Can I give you some quick feedback? For example, here's the wrong way of doing it. Jun, come here. You have a problem I need to address. The better way would be, Jun, could I give you some quick feedback? Or could I share something with you? Okay, you see the difference? Remember, you ask permission whether it's positive or negative feedback. Okay, next. Focus on specific behavior, not traits or motives. Feedback should be a discussion of specifically observed behavior rather than an evaluation of the employee's personality. Do not attempt to guess the motivation behind their behavior. This is the big tendency that we all have, especially because we all think we're counselors, and especially because we all feel we are discerning in the spirit, and some of us have prophetic tendencies, like me, okay? But when you're giving feedback, you can only give feedback on things you saw, things you heard, or things you actually read. Not the inferred behavior that you feel it connoted. Does that make sense? What does 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 say? It says, we're not the same, God said. I don't choose the way you choose. Because man looks at the artwork, God looks at the heart. Right? On choosing David. Now, unless you're God, who can tell the behaviors and motives and attitudes of the heart, then limit yourself to outward things. Now, as last I checked, none of us in this room are God. Okay, so the key word here that will help cue you to the correct way of doing feedback is when you use when you, because this forces you to describe. For example, to describe affirming feedback. An ineffective way of giving affirming feedback is, hey, Ethel, great attention to detail. Most of us would think that's already good, right? Well, that's good feedback. You encourage the person. No. Effective feedback is like this. Okay, Ethel, guess what? You did a great job proofreading that Excel report. Not just good job in general, the way she proofread the report. That's exactly what I want to point out. The way she caught those mistakes. So I will detail that. Okay, I really appreciated the way you caught those typos, especially before we brought it to print. That mattered. So sometimes in the video team, for example, I would say that. I would go, I really like the choice of song here. Who chose this song? Again, I'm going to be very particular. And I tell Lou, you know the way that animation thing? I love that. Who thought of that? I know, I'd be very particular. You get on with the web, but parang, oh, who decided on the legis-legis? I love that. That specific thing. And I'd be very particular to show specific things. Because that strengthens them that this thing he liked. Not just a general feeling of kumbaya, wow. Diba? Adjusting feedback, ineffective. Okay, Tito, I am so tired of your arrogant attitude. You are so disrespectful. Okay, what did that do? I jumped to conclusions. It's emotional. My feedback is emotive. You're disrespectful. What was my basis for that? I jumped to something. I missed the actual behavior. I'm now telling him his motive. That's wrong feedback. Okay? You're arrogant. I judge his pride. What's my basis for that? Effective feedback is this. Tito, you know, when we're in meetings and other people are talking and then you roll your eyes, I don't know if you're doing that on purpose, but it comes across to us this way. I've noticed you done it several times, and I want to call your attention to it. Do you really realize that you do that? Could I ask you to be more conscious the next time somebody else is talking that you don't do that? Can I expect that to you in our next meeting? Yeah? Great. Thank you so much. You know, I know you can do it. You know what I did? I just gave specific, corrective, adjusting feedback that didn't judge that he was proud, didn't judge that he was arrogant. I just corrected the behavior. I kept the way it felt to myself. Now, I can say, you know, to be quite honest, it made me feel like you didn't care about what they were saying. But that's me. I feel that. I'm not sure what you're actually trying to do, but I think it'd be better if you don't do that behavior. Would that be okay? Did you notice the difference? It's huge. Avoid labeling actions with attitudes. Okay, avoid making generalizations. Be specific, be precise. Avoid using always, never, all. These are emotion words. You're always late. No, they're not always late. Sometimes they're actually on time. And people who are defensive will point it out to you. No, I was on time yesterday. Tapos ang usapan. And they're right, they were on time yesterday. Diba? More specific, immediate adjusting feedback would be, you know, hi Mimi, you know, I know we've talked about this already before, but I noticed that you're 20 minutes late again. I've already brought this up to you. This is a concern for us. I need you to come to the office at the right time. We've already discussed this. You've already talked about ways to do it. Can I expect tomorrow that you will be here at the proper time? And that if ever it's not the case, you will make sure it never happens again. I don't know. Depende. So, maganon, di ba? Anyway, so get it. Okay, next. Describe the impact of the behavior. This is where this is the power line. Describing the impact of the behavior. Some people don't know kasi what it means. Eh. When you do that, this is what happens. You know, when you caught that typographical error, it saved us thousands of pesos. That makes them feel great. that makes them go home saying, you know, mommy, I saved the company thousands of pesos today. They have stuff to report. And at the same time, kung corrective, you know, when you come to the meeting late, there are 10 of us in the meeting, even if you're just 5 minutes late, 10 people times 5 minutes, you wasted 50 minutes of time that could have been used other ways. That's a significant time for me, and that's something that I consider valuable. I hope you start learning to consider that valuable as well. Could I expect you to come earlier than the time we've set so that we don't waste time in the future? Would that be okay? The value, most people don't get it. Keywords, when you do this, here's what happens. When you do this, I feel this way. Okay? So, ineffective yung, great, good job earlier, ah. More effective, hey, you know what? Harold, I like the way you gave the presentation. When you started the report with that illustration, it really communicated the importance of what you were about to say. And it got the attention of the whole team. In the future, I really encourage you to keep doing that. It really brought the whole team together to listen to what you had to say. Okay? You notice a difference? It's more effective. Finally, discuss next steps. Effective feedback leads into coaching. Effective feedback thinks coaching, never thinks lecture. Okay, whether it's affirming or adjusting, you give feedback to reinforce a desired behavior. Right? So, keywords, if it's positive, keep it up. I expect more of the same from you. Diba? Ganon. Thank you. I really appreciate the way you did this. Keep it up. Ganon. So you reinforce that kind of behavior. Corrective feedback, you shift. So it starts to happen like this. Diba? Parang, you know, Marielle, you know, when we were doing that, I correct you on something specific. Diba? And I shift and I go, what do you think you can do next time so we don't go there anymore? And then now it ball shifts to Marielle, who now has to ideate and think of a way she can do it differently. Why is that important? Because if she comes up with a solution, it's most probably a solution she can do. Most probably it's a solution she will follow through on and she will eventually remember and own because it was her idea. Versus me giving her what to do. Notice the difference? Okay? I do that all the time. Like, guys, how could we have done this better? And I wait for them to ideate. And then I agree, because I already have my idea that they could have done it better by doing this. But when they come up with it, and then I hear the idea I wanted to emphasize, I say, you know, that's a great idea. I'm glad you thought of it. Can we make sure that happens next time? Can I expect that from you next time? Great. Thanks. Does that make sense? This is powerful. Okay. So, ineffective way. Okay? You know, what you need to do kasi is keep your mouth shut. Eh. That's not too hard to ask, right? And a more effective way. You know, Jay, any thoughts on how we can stop the issue from happening again in the future? I get that you get emotional about it. What can we do the next time so that you don't end up saying the things you know you don't want to say? Then you wait. You shut up. You let the solution come from them. When you like the solution, you say, I love that idea. Can I expect that from you? Great. I look forward to seeing that happen. Balls in their court. Powerful. Remember, feedback is always about future behavior. It's always about future behavior. Feedback is never about past performance. It's always about future behavior. The reason I'm giving you feedback is because I don't want you to do it again, or I want you to keep doing it. It's future related. We cannot do anything about what was already done in the past. We fix problems that were caused, but you can't go back to it that it not doesn't happen. You can't erase it. You can just correct it so that in the future, the step doesn't go there again. Okay? Never treat feedback as a form of punishment. Some people, you know, hurt people. I've heard this to be true. And some of us, because for whatever reason, we're not used to receiving correction ourselves. When we dish it out, we're extra painful. And that's something you need to catch in your own heart if you know that it's there. You actually, there's a slight enjoyment in seeing people squirm and getting people to feel less than how God sees them, when you like cutting people down to size, that's a weird question, eh? What size? Like, what size do you cut them down to? And lastly, learn to do feedback regularly, not once a year. Can I just say that? Quick questions on feedback. Anything? This is revolutionary, yeah? All right, I'll go through coaching really quick because you guys already heard this in your victory group, whatever. Narinig na. So if not, attend na lang your victory group discipleship coaching classes in church because I want to get to delegation. Coaching is walking alongside people. In coaching, you are not the expert. Okay, I can coach Edwin on layout and design. I don't know how to Photoshop one bit. You know why I can coach him? Because I don't have to know anything about it enough. All I can do is point him into how he can be the best at what he is. And I can do that. Okay? Because I know the tools to be a good coach. So you see all the notes there. I won't mention that anymore. But the three skills to coaching are focused listening. Really, if you want to be a great supervisor, you're going to learn that so much of it is listening. Coaching skills comes into play so much as a supervisor. My favorite time is when I sit down with my department and I talk for a long time. And then it's almost like I do a small group type where everybody in the group answers and they talk about applying some of the things we heard, whether that's a principle on better creative development, or sometimes I preach because I'm a pastor, so I do devotionals and then the victory weekend kami doon, yung mga ganun. But I love those times. I love the listening part because that's the part where you hear what's really going on. Okay, powerful questions. Learn to ask good questions. This is my summary thought on that. And strategic insights. Let me just show you real quickly what that looks like. Strategic insights helps the people answer four questions. The first question they answer to themselves is, where am I? Okay, that's where Janus, if I do coaching with Janus, at the end of the conversation, Janus knows, here's where I stand. It's God asking Adam for the very first time after Adam sinned. God knew where Adam was, which makes the question weird. The question was never for God's sake. When God asked Adam, where are you? It was for Adam's sake. Because we can't go somewhere until we first determine where we are. Right? So if you want to coach people to grow, they need to have first a clear and reasonable, realistic assessment of grow from where? Diba? Where am I now? So that's the first question. And as a coach, you can ask that through questions like, oh, so how are you doing right now? What challenges are you currently facing? What are the items that you feel are gaps that you want to address? Those are example questions that you can use. Pastor Steve is awesome at that. But he's only here about 2-3 weeks in a 2-month period. But whenever he's here, he sits down with me and he gives me, Carlos, what are the top 2-3 things? So that he knows where I am. I'm really quite impressed. Okay, next. Where do I want to go from here? Once you determine here I am, okay, so where do you want to go? That's the next question. You want the person to be able to answer for himself. Not you answer. Don't tell that person where to go. Okay? Let that person. Now, you know, if you're a great supervisor and you see the person wanting to go somewhere that really is not working, you know, I want to be an American Idol singer. Yung marang ganyan. If you're a good supervisor who knows your coaching skills right, you will keep ideating on the person. That's a great idea. Anything else? I want to join The Voice. Parang pare-pareho lang to. Anything else? X Factor din. Sige, anything else? So you think you can dance? Parang open din ako. Mas bagay sa'yo yun. Yung parang ganun. So in the back of my head, mas bagay sa'yo, so you think you can dance. You know, let's talk about the so you think you can dance idea. Why did you think of doing that? You know, because ever since I was a kid, I was really good at it. A lot of people told me, that sounds like a great idea. What would you do if you were to pursue that? Well, I'd have to do this. You notice what I'm doing? I'm being strategic. Okay, so anyway, next. How will I get from here to there? That's what I started to do. Once I saw here and I saw there, the conversation shifts where that person now thinks, how will I get there? What are the next two or three steps that will get me there? It's a great question. And finally, the fourth question is, this is new. It's not in my coaching notes. I just made this up. How am I doing? What I realize is most coaching efforts don't work because the follow-up doesn't happen. The coach doesn't get to follow through. So the how am I doing question is something you recur every so often so that it helps a person catch where they are. Clear? All right. Any questions on that one? Okay, I wanted to shift because the bulk of the time, that's relatively something you've all heard somehow, somewhere. Okay? But I want to take the rest of the time on delegation and do an activity. Okay? Here's an interesting statistic. This is the fourth tool. And then we'll wrap this one up, do one activity, and then we're done. Okay? 78% of all personnel in major corporations believe that their supervisor routinely does work that would be more effectively done by somebody else. Meaning, the staff member looks at their supervisor, and most of them evaluate their supervisor's workload. I'm sure you do that. And in the back of your head, as a staff member, you're thinking, alam mo, dapat hindi siya gumagawa niyan eh. 70%. This is research done. The same research shows that 66% of managers actually agree that one of their biggest challenges is to improve doing delegation, using it as a tool for greater effectiveness of their team, greater time management on their part, and personal development of their staff. So here's a delegation effectiveness survey. Really quickly, to determine whether you are a good candidate to use delegation as a tool for your team or for your volunteers, or team leaders, whatever, take this simple quiz, okay? So I want you to check a yes or no on each one of these 10 questions. Question one, do you allow your team members to make mistakes? Yes, no. Be honest, okay? You're not gonna fail staff dev. This is a diagnostic question. So be honest, okay? Next question, do you frequently take work home or work late at the office? I didn't look on you on purpose, Fern. I just gravitated to look at you. Okay. Question three, does your team function smoothly when you are absent? Question four, do you overrule or reverse decisions made by your team members? A decision was made by people in your team, you arrive and you change everything. Diba? Number five, if you were incapacitated for 6 months, parang nalala ko yung feeling ko talaga ng nasa hospital ako during the monthly staff meeting. Everybody was saying you're in the hospital because you're stressed. No, I'm stressed now because I'm in the hospital. Okay, anyway. Could a team member take over smoothly? Which I'm so glad to say yes. Number six, do you do some things your team members could be doing? Again, in general, team members, if you don't have actual people under you, I know you might see many of you have volunteers who regularly work with you. Do your team members take initiative without input from you? Number eight, when you return from a trip or a training, is there a big pile in your inbox, whether that's a physical paper inbox or your actual email inbox? Okay. Number nine, do your team members delegate to their teams, if that's applicable? Like some of your team members actually have teams under them. Number 10, do you spend time on details that you would rather spend time on doing planning and actual supervisory work? Okay, so click the side. So here's how you're gonna score. Here's how you'll know if you need to delegate or not. Look at the yes question, numbers 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, the even questions. And if you scored yes on that, give yourself a 1 on each one. So, like on number 2, if you said yes, then that's a score of 1. 1 point ka doon. Okay? So, the evens. So, look at number 4. May yes ka, put 1. Okay? And then, when you're done with that, look at the odd numbers. And if you scored a no on those, give yourself a score of 1. Make sense? Kung hindi kayo magaling sa math, na hindi ko na naintindihan yan dati. So, basta the even numbers, you get a 1 point if you score, if you answered yes. If you answered no on the even questions, you don't get a point. Total your score, okay? Total over 10 percentage, times 20 plus 5 minus 10. Okay, nangugula. Everybody done scoring? 10 items lang to. Okay, next. Okay, next slide. The higher your score, the more likely you need to practice delegating. Anything over 5 is a clear indicator you're not delegating as much as you should. Can I see a few? Anybody? How many got 10? That's why you look so overworked. I gotta, I'll say it. So, one, score of one. Nice. Okay, one, two, three. Okay, four. Nice. Most of you are on four. Five. Okay, six, seven. May mga hindi tumaas, ha? Nakita ako. Okay, anyway, moving on. The Lord knows who does not pay. Okay. How do you delegate effectively? Three components. One, when you delegate responsibility. Okay? Make sure the responsibility is clearly assigned. You make sure when you're telling the person, okay, Jeff, okay, you're going to be the one in charge over the venues for Ignite. Ganyan, parang kunari lang. Okay, so that means it won't move forward unless you do it. You got to be clear that the shift of weight of the task is now no longer on you, but is now on the person you're delegating to. Okay? It is not them doing you a favor. Because that's not responsibility shifting. That's something if they have the time, they'll do. No. They've agreed to take on more work. Okay? Whether it's temporary or not, they've committed to the responsibility. Critical yon. Remember that you are assigning them responsibility for the task, but it does not take away your responsibility for the results. I will qualify. The task getting done is theirs. Ultimate success is yours. So you already heard about situational leadership from Alex. I think that's a great framework. Okay, people who need to be told what to do, don't assume they know what to do. The results is ultimately yours. I delegated it to them na eh. Yeah, okay, but who did you delegate it to? Okay? If you delegate it to somebody who's never done it before, it's your fault it didn't get done right, not theirs. That makes sense? Next, effective delegation provides authority. I mean, at the end of the day, if they are given the responsibility, you gotta give them some kind of running authority, okay? At the very least, authority under you. Okay? I would do that, for example. I would tell somebody, Pastor, let's say, Pastor Ariel, June will be the one to call the meeting. She will be the one to get in touch with you. That now gives June the right to call Pastor Ariel, which otherwise should have run through me. But because I delegated the responsibility of calling meeting to June, I also give the authority to her. Whether that's authority communicated to the team, I'm letting everybody know. Guys, I'm letting everybody know Edwin has the right to choose where we're going to eat. Everybody clear? Okay, good. So the task is given to Edwin, and Edwin and I sit down and talk because I know Edwin needs to be taught how to choose where to eat. So I sit down with Edwin. Okay, Edwin, here's where I want to eat. Can you make sure it happens? I'm telling him, okay? I'm not at the level yet where I can trust Edwin to choose where to eat. So I am ultimately responsible for the results, that my stomach is happy. So I'm making sure Edwin's responsible, but I'm walking him through the process. And then to the whole team, I'm telling everybody, Edwin has the authority to make this happen. Clear? If he asks for your help, give it to him as if I were the one asking it. Clear? Parang ganun. And last one, accountability. Effective delegation requires accountability. You've given the task. It's like the talents. There will be an accounting afterwards. Okay?
hold the member accountable for what he said yes to. This is not role-playing. There are actual results on the line. This also means that the team member will get the rewards if there are any individual ones. At the end of the day, kung successful yung nangyari, huwag ikaw umako ng praise. Make sure, iangat mo yun. Talagang, I'm so glad, like it's like this, did that, parang ganun. Major yun. You remember the story of Alex, di ba? Yung nag-receive ng award. Di ba? Parang, weird yun. Huwag kayo ganun, okay? Be the first to defer. I'm so amazed how Pastor Steve does it. Somebody honors Pastor Steve, by the time the whole thing is done, he's honored everybody else. I don't know how he does it. He deflects honor so quickly. I'm learning from him. Galing niya, bilib. Next, how to practice effective delegation. Here's the process, really quick. First, analyze your current job load. Ask yourself, what of what I am doing right now can somebody else in my team do to free me up to do other things that only I can do? Diba? Baka yung pagbili ng kape, pwedeng ibang tao na. Pero sobrang oko kang leader, ikaw pa rin yung bumibili ng kape. Diba? If I were an ok-ok leader, because I wanted the pasalubong kits for APEC to be a certain way, I would have been the one in Divisoria. But the truth is, I didn't have the time to go to Divisoria, though I kind of ok-okly wanted to. So I entrusted it completely to the Fraglets, who did an amazing job. They did an awesome job. So I was so glad. But every so often, I'd hold them accountable to the results. Oh, nasaan na yung ano? Ano na nangyari? Ano? Parang ganun. Ganun. So, di ba? Parang ganun yung nangyari doon. Okay, so, think of it. Ano yung ako yung kailangan gumawa? Ano yung pwedeng ibang gumawa? From that point, let me just say this, okay? Sometimes, meron kayong task na feeling mo pwede yung i-delegate. Let me just encourage you, talk to your supervisor. You know, I'm planning on helping this person grow in this skill set. Can I delegate this task that I normally do to that person? Do you think it'll be okay? Because I'm the one who currently keeps the meetings. Can I teach this person how to do meeting management also by teaching them how to do the minutes? Would you be okay with that? I'll shift it from me doing the minutes to that person doing the minutes. As a supervisor, are you okay with that? Because sometimes your supervisor will say, no. That's something only you can do. The reason it's with you is because I need you to do that. Like financial reporting. No. That you don't delegate. May mga ganun yan eh. So just as a balance and a double check, bounce it off on your supervisor first before you actually delegate key responsibilities. Okay? Next, decide what you will finally delegate. Okay, once you look at it and then you talk to people, decide, okay, I'm going to delegate this. Okay? Look at areas that make you over-specialized, meaning sobrang galing mo na doon. Look at places where your team is more qualified than you are, like when it comes to choosing web themes. I don't even take the time to look at the themes myself. I just go, okay, what are the themes you guys choose? So these are the best ones, huh? And I completely trust their decision. Okay, which of these three themes will we use? Parang ganun yung nangyari. I mean, can I go through the process of learning the themes and ano? Yes. Do I want to? Do I have the time to? Even if I wanted to, I don't have the time to. And the okok in me wants to, but I won't because I delegated na. Okay, so. Look at the areas of work that you actually don't like to do. That's a potential delegation area. Oh, some of you enjoyed that. Pwede ko i-delegate yung email. Hindi. Okay. All of us hate email. That's not the one. But look at some of the things you don't like to do. I mean, I hate budget management. I hate writing RFFs. And the moment I could have transferred that, nagpakain ako sa bahay. Yung mga pinakain ko, mga anak ko. Normal yun. Okay, so, and then, look at the tasks that you do like to do as well. Sometimes the tasks you love to do, those are the best ones to delegate. Ako, I have fun delegating tasks I love to do. Anyway. Ineffective supervisors do this. They do everything they can, and then kapag pagod na sila and they can't do anymore, that's when they delegate. Yung umapaw. That's ineffective delegation. you delegated the overflow. No. Think and strategically spread your work. Don't just let, hindi ko na magawa, ikaw na lang. Hindi ganun yun. That's ineffective delegation. Not thought through, not planned out. Not beneficial to the growth of the person you're giving it to. Which brings us to the third point. Select the right person. Consider the people in your team. Consider interests. Consider abilities. And think, who of my team will benefit the most to be given this new responsibility? I need to understand something. The Bible considers giving people more responsibility a reward. I don't know if you see this. The Bible says, you're faithful with little, I'll entrust you with you more. The reward for faithfulness on small things is bigger things. In the Garden of Eden, which everybody calls paradise, God gave Adam work. Work is part of our call. Work is part of our blessing. People who avoid work probably have a wrong paradigm, wrong Bible mindset, don't serve God. I don't know. Something to think about. Or are in the wrong places, or working things they're not supposed to be doing. Sad. I mean, if I'm called to be an eye and you're asking me to do footwork, I will hate my job too. Something to think about. So select the right person. Look at their schedule. Look at the things they want to do also, because some of them have expressed, you know, I'm getting bored right now doing this. I'm interested in learning that. So baka may mga opportunities rin doon. Okay, then plan the delegation. Think through. Schedule the time when you're going to meet with the person. Don't just randomly, oh bro, ikaw na to ah. Hindi ganun yun. You schedule the time to sit down. It's almost like a one-on-one session where you explain that the whole task there is to tell the person, I want to help you, you know, grow. I think you're going to be able to do this well. And let's work on this. And then I'll work with you until you get to the place that you're good at it on your own. Parang ganun yung mangyayari. Schedule it in advance. Be clear on what you're offering. And I'll show you a template how to do that. Okay, and finally, do the actual delegation. Okay? When you delegate, it shifts from you to them. It's not somewhere in between where you can take it back if you don't like the way they're doing it. Does that make sense? You actually pass it up. Pass it on. The ball doesn't stay in your hands. It actually goes to somebody else. Then six, you follow up. This is where most people don't do it right. They delegate and then they forget about it. No. Because delegation is a development tool. You follow up. And when it's done, you celebrate. Always celebrate. Even if it was a failed effort. Because the effort was done. Celebrate it. Celebrate the learning. If it was successful, celebrate even more. But celebrate. Always celebrate. Something to think about. Most people don't do delegation and don't feel delegation's good because they miss these two points. The follow-up, the follow-through, and the celebration. So I gave you a sample. There's a handout there, the last slide. And the last page that you have there is a sample delegation template. This is the one most of us don't know how to do, which is why this is the one that has the activity. Okay. So I just want to show you, here's a step-by-step approach to actually hold a delegation meeting where Claude, for example, is going to delegate work to somebody in her team. Okay, Jing, I'm going to delegate work to you. Huh? Ano po? Hindi, kunwari lang, imbenta tayo. Okay, so now, let's say I'm going to delegate work to Edwin. I'm going to delegate work to Gans. I'm going to delegate work to Cricket. I'm going to delegate work to Jael. I think those things through. So here's how you approach it. One, first point, state your need for help. Okay? So, June, I need your help. Ganyan yan. Okay, that's an example. And I'm going to ask you to fill this up with your own example. So, and that's going to be the rest of our time that we're going to close. Okay? So, June, I need your help. Then, next, say why you're asking this person versus another person. Okay? Why did you choose June? Why did I choose Edwin? There was a reason there. Diba? So, maybe for example, diba? June, you know, I really appreciate the way you're very organized. And when it comes to money matters, I don't even think about it. You're just really efficient. Nothing gets lost when it's in your hands. So, I need your help. Diba? I explain it and I state why I'm choosing you because I trust your competence. Or it could be the other way around. Like, you know, June, you expressed to me before that you're interested in growing in this area. So I have a project that I feel you can practice on. I'll work with you on it, but it's a great opportunity for you. I'll tell you. Ganon. Clear? That excites them. I mean, if you do it right, what is it? What is it? I mean, it's Christmas gifts, right? Because work is a reward. Next, ask them to accept. This is the sales pitch. This is where you go, are you interested? Do you want to do it? Okay, so would you be able to oversee our weekly meeting? Diba? Would you be able to start mentoring these three individuals? Whatever you're asking of them, ask it at that point. This is just step three in the process, but you ask it early. Okay? There's a reason why you ask this one early. Most people will quickly guess that you are going to ask them to do something. They will be waiting for you to give them specific things first, but they'll miss the details. Kasi ang dami yun eh. Okay? So ask already. The moment they say yes to it, if they hesitate, that's fine. Because you haven't given them nga naman some of the details, diba? But if they say yes right away, ang bilis na nga ng usapan. So try to ask their commitment already. Okay? Next, describe the task in detail. Here's what we need to do. And then explain it. Whatever that is, diba? We're gonna need to hold 4 specific meetings, and I need you to call all 4 meetings. I need you to oversee making sure we have food on all 4 meetings, make sure we have the venue covered, make sure all of the logistical components are done. Can I ask that of you? Parang ganun na yan. So I'm very specific on what I need. So these are the 4 meetings, okay? Clear? Parang ganyan. Then state the deadline. I need you to get back with me by this time to let me know if our 4 venues are booked, if the 4 schedules are okay, and who of the people we invited can attend. And here's the time I need to know by. Then you state the deadline. Then the quality standards. Here's how we will evaluate your success in what I'm delegating with you. So next, discuss the reporting standards. Okay, I'll meet with you in 2 weeks' time. So this is the follow-up. I'll meet with you in 2 weeks' time. When we meet, I want to hear who's coming, which venues we booked, what time is it going to be. He's like, can I ask that for you in 2 weeks? Is 2 weeks enough? Ganun yun, reporting. And then finally, lastly, is there anything I can do to help you get this done? That's where you open up the discussion on training needs or resource needs or developmental needs. Because I want to set you up for success. Clear? If you do this right, you will grow the organization's capacity because you develop people like you. You duplicate yourself. This is internship in an office level. This is so good. Doable, diba? That's why I wanted it to be very practical. Oh, can you give it a try? Okay, just look at it, that list. State your need. Think of an example work na gusto mong i-delegate. Kahit sabihin natin, hindi mo talaga ma-delegate. Okay? This is for the fun of it. Delegate the work you hate the most. Okay, let's just try it. That's it. Jans, quick question. Mic, para ma-record din nga. Tama. So, ayun, okay.
And then you need to delegate some things that the other person is doing to another person. Kasi parang naisip ko lang, that person might feel offended na, why are you removing this from me? So how do you do that?
If you do the other three tools, which is one-on-ones, feedback, and coaching, the person you're getting work from to give to somebody else would have already first released the work already, because if you did that whole process correct, they would have known this is not working. And at a certain point, the conclusion is we're going to have to do something about it. And it might, maybe, you know, it's unfair for me to expect you to do this work. Parang ganon. Would you be more comfortable if I shift you to something that will be more along what you do great? Can I find somebody else to do this?
I've been waiting for that for the longest time. Ganun. Okay. Now, that said, when we talk about delegation, it's you delegating your work. As a supervisor, in the world of organization, work cascades this way. So a decision gets made here, it creates work here. And then the work created here, it creates work here. And then it creates work here, everybody here is like, dami! Okay, ganun yung feeling. So delegation is a tool for you as a supervisor to pass down your workload so that you can prioritize your priorities and at the same time grow people to their capacities. But if you're transferring work from one person in your team to another, it isn't called delegation. You're restructuring roles and responsibilities. That's a different discussion. That's team management. That's structural discussions. We can talk about that when we talk about team management. But in general, if you do the other three things, which is do your one-to-ones regularly with the people, both people involved, like the one that's not doing good and the one that's doing good, let's say you want to shift work, you're going to get the work because you're doing feedback one-on-one and coaching correctly. They will know that you want them to work on something or you want to take something away from them. And then when you shift it, they're not shocked and they don't feel bad because they feel you gave them an opportunity, not took something away from them. If you do this right, If that's why these four tools, I kid you not, the last 3 years, these four tools, look at this. If I just keep doing these four consistently somehow, I'm going to be pretty helpful to my team. And by the grace of God, you know, I've had the privilege of growing a big team. And I love my team. And I hope they love me. And they poko-yo'd me. So I'm cool. I feel like I'm cool like them. So, but it's a privilege to see people grow. And that's not just me saying that because I'm a pastor. And these tools I just shared with you are growth tools. These are growth tools. If you do this, even if growth means they move out of the organization, because really, finding the proper place for people is the best thing you can ever do for people, whether it's here or somewhere else. I mean, who's to say that we're called to do other things? Tristan used to work in our team. We're so excited when he shifted, and we're so excited where he is right now. I can somewhere take a little bit of pride in knowing that the logos in Makati are managed well. Because even though his job with us was administrative in nature, my job was to grow everybody. And he learned the same branding thoughts, the same principles on excellence that I required across my media team. So, I don't know, it's a joy to grow people. I hope you guys put these tools into your toolbox because now we're asking you to help us grow people. In the past, we were asking you to grow. But now you're now the bar. You're not going to Starbucks to buy coffee anymore. You've crossed over to the other side where you're behind the bar offering coffee with us. That's the difference. You guys are now helping us grow people. So please take the time, review this because it's all very practical. And my encouragement for you is start with the one-on-ones. Do that for 6 to 8 weeks. Don't even introduce feedback yet. Don't even introduce delegation yet or coaching yet. Just build the relationship. Once that relationship establishes and there's a camaraderie and there's a trust and there's a openness and a bridge for communication, then introduce feedback to the whole team. Explain what it is. Explain how you'll do it. And then do it. Do that for 6 to 8 weeks. And then in your conversations, start bringing in coaching and then start bringing in delegation. When you do this 1-2 punch, you're in leadership development mode. This is good. This is fun. Is it helpful? Yeah.
I hope it's helpful. And I try to make it as practical as possible. Can I take a moment? You guys, it's okay, we'll leave it to you guys because that's an actionable item. You can answer that on your own. But if we had extra time, nakain kasi yung APE and everything, but I would have wanted you to try doing feedback activities. I wanted you to role play feedback. But we ran out of time, eh? But please do try it. You'll be surprised on how your feedback is actually not effective all the time because it's more emotional. You don't praise people quickly. You're gonna find this. This is something that's doable. Can I pray for you, Lord? This first semester is starting to wrap up, but Lord, I'm already just so excited looking at everybody here on what you're about to do in their lives and how you're gonna help really advance the kingdom through them. Lord, I pray that all of these tools that I shared and the things that Gigi helped clarify for them on their new roles as supervisors. And I pray that this would set them in a good place till they realize, oh, so this is where I am. And I pray your Holy Spirit be the one to show them, here's where I'm bringing you. And here's what we're going to do to get there. And Lord, I thank you so much, Lord. I have a privilege of walking amongst them, walking with them, and seeing them really be propelled to the purposes you have for each one of them. They are a gift to the departments and to the churches that they are in. Bless them, Lord. May they be so fruitful. I just sense this whole thing we talked about will cause pruning, changing. But Lord, your word says you're the gardener, and when you prune us, you remove things, you correct us, it's because you want something better for us. You want us to be more fruitful. So Lord, I pray that they would all embrace the changes that are needed, make the necessary corrections as appropriate, and move forward towards greater effectiveness as leaders. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 amen.